Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we praise you for the wonders of your goodness. As we have experienced it again this past week, as we've experienced it again this morning, that you are good and that you are our God. And so would you also bless us this morning as we give you thanks, as we praise your holy name, that it would be with heart and soul and mind and strength, with all of our being, that we would give you thanks for what you have done for us. For as we just sang, you have set us free. No, though we were never slaves in Egypt, Father, we confess before you this morning. By nature, we are objects of wrath. We were dead in our sins and transgressions. We were enslaved to the sinful cravings and desires of our hearts. But you have set us free. You have granted us your grace. For that very reason, for the goodness and mercy you have shown us, we are heartily sorry for all of our sins. For even as you have set us free, Father, we have not served you as we ought to. We haven't given you the glory. We haven't listened to your word. We haven't heeded your commandments as we should have. And we recognize that even in ourselves, that as we repent of our sin this morning, you know, even our repentance is so often half-hearted. We may say the words, we may know that we should repent. We may tear our clothes, but Father, we do not rend our hearts. Even our repentance doesn't match up to what you deserve and what you require. And so would you work in our hearts also today? Would you instill in us that new heart that does truly repent over our sins, that looks to you and runs toward you and away from sin, fleeing it, leaving it behind, and seeking the freedom of a new life in Christ? Would you help us to do just that? For Father, we need you, as there is no strength in ourselves, as the very limited efforts of our repentance show. So renew us and refresh us. Father, would you, for that very reason, we love your grace. For it truly is given to those who are undeserving. When we confess that even our repentance isn't what it ought to be, our faith isn't what it ought to be, we recognize just this, we confess the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And that you have given us your grace, free and undeserved, in our Lord. And so this morning, as we remember all that our Lord has done, Father, would you bless us? As we look to your word, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, would you strengthen our faith? Would you open up our hearts and ears that we may understand your word? And we pray all of this in Christ's name alone. Amen. Now let us all, as those who have examined ourselves and confessed our sins before our Lord Jesus Christ, also hear the following assurance. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings, and desire to fight against our unbelief, and to live according to all the commandments of God, Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let's now then turn to God's Word, and we'll turn to Psalm 114. So a while back with Lord's Supper, we looked at Psalm 113, and we kind of looked at them as the series of Hallel or Hallelujah Psalms, praise to the Lord, which was also used at the Passover, and which we can see also in the Gospels, would have been the kinds of psalms that Christ would have sang as he instituted the Lord's Supper. And this morning we'll look then at Psalm 114, the second psalm in the series of Hallel Psalms. This is the word of God. When Israel came out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back, this mountain skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, O sea, that you fled, O Jordan, that you turned back? You mountains that you skipped like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I can be pretty sure that none of you got to be part in some official motorcade on the way to church this morning. But imagine if you did. I know there's some of you who live like just around the corner. It would not have made that much of a difference. You probably had a pretty easy drive coming to church, hopefully. But for some of you, maybe, you know, that police escorts may have just helped you to get to church on time. Maybe even it would have been very much appreciated on a Sunday just after time change to be like, oh, and it seems like it's just even that much shorter in the morning to get to church. And if it was an official police escort, you would have likely not have had to stop at all for any stop signs. The roads would have been blocked and you could go right through the lights too. You could just ignore and keep on your routes. May have even been people on the street or other people in vehicles, motorists would have just been wondering, like, who's driving there that is getting such privilege? It's the kind of treatment that is only reserved for the most important people. Those who are deemed worthy of the honor, those who may need it for security reasons to keep on moving. And most of us would likely never experience it, unless someone who is worthy invites us to join them. But it's this kind of escort that comes to mind when we read Psalm 114. Because the psalmist, he reviews what happened to Israel as they were led out of Egypt. And he does that with this epic language, as he describes the most awesome and inspiring events that transpired for Israel. And as he reflects on, like, why was this? Why did creation respond so to the Israelites? He realizes that it wasn't just because the Israelites were special, but because the Lord had made them something special and that the Lord went with them. The Lord went with them. He had chosen these people to be His people. And so they experienced the great honor and the great security of traveling with one who is majestic and great. And this is what Psalm 114 sings about. It is a hymn, a song to God's presence with us. Just review this psalm. It has these nice four stanzas. The center one's very similar, as it has that question, as why was it? But the first stanza gets us to think back to the Exodus and the struggle of the Israelites. Right? They had to be come out of Egypt. They had to be led out from a people of foreign tongue. The Israelites had been strangers in a foreign land. They had been oppressed. And the Lord decided to set them free, to let them out by His mighty hand and outstretched arm. And then the psalm describes the honor the Israelites received from the Lord. Judah became God's sanctuary, His holy place, His holy possession. Israel, His dominion, like His kingdom, the place where He rules. They became this people that were precious and set apart. They're under His kingship. They were where He dwelt. And it echoes the words that the Lord describes Himself, saying, "You know, I've led you out of Egypt. Now you are going to be a kingdom of priests, a sanctuary and dominion." Israelites received that special honored position. When He became their God, He lifted them up and promoted them to that special status among all of the people of the earth. And as such, as His sanctuary, as His dominion, they experienced great things. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. The hills like lambs. It's epic language, a poetic description of what happened during the Exodus. The Red Sea parted so that Israel could go through. And when Israel had to get into the Promised Land, yes, the Jordan too prepared a way for them to cross, even though it was crossing its boundaries. And as the Israelites came to Mount Sinai, the whole mountain shook and it quaked. And He describes it as rams that are skipping, lambs. Now, if you've ever seen lambs frolic, you know what they can be like, full of energy and joy, bouncing around. Well, He says that's what the hills were like when God descended on the mountain and met with His people. It's as if creation is falling over itself, trying to make way for the great King and His people. And they do it, part in joy, right? That sense of lambs frolicking, chasing each other. Joyous, energetic for what God has done. But also that sense of great reverence. Make way, someone great is coming through. But why? Why was it, O sea, that you fled, O Jordan, that you turned back, you mountains that you skipped like rams, you hills like lambs? Why? And then the psalm gives the answer in that last stanza. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. It commands all of creation to tremble. Tremble, O earth, the presence of the Lord. Here the psalm emphasizes that when God made Israel His sanctuary, when He made them His dominion, He Himself went with them. They went and traveled in His presence. And all of creation trembles before the glory and the majesty and the power of its Creator. That's why the waters parted. That's why the mountains skipped like lambs and rams. They were full of joy and reverence for the presence of the Lord. This hymn celebrates the presence of the Lord among his people. And when he goes with his people, even creation makes way for those who are his sanctuary and his dominion. Do you get a sense of the awe with which the psalmist is filled and wishes to fill us? The presence of the Lord. And when he is near, that when he is with his people, no one can stand in his way, nothing in all of creation. Will keep his people from moving and reaching their destination. Here, the glorious Lord of heaven and earth, the escort of his people himself, leads them, and they follow in his train, in his wake. Nothing stops them. All things serve them. With joy and great reverence, a way is prepared. What do we do with such a psalm? Hopefully, it fills us with that sense of awe. We think back to the Exodus, and yes, that's exactly what God did. As he led his people out, he went with them. Think of the cloud and the glory cloud that led them, that he was there. And later on in the tabernacle and the ark, he was there. What about today? What about today? It's a question that we have to ask ourselves. New Testament is very clear that no, not only is Israel in the past his sanctuary and his dominion, no, today the church is Christ, or God's temple in which his fullness dwells. We are his kingdom. Jesus says, you know, my kingdom is among you. And so do you have eyes to see God's presence? Do you see God at work in your life? Do you see him preparing a way for us, his church, for us, as individuals? Is that even on your radar? Or do you think, well, yes, we are here, God's in heaven. Where are the two ever going to connect? Maybe you believe, yes, we see it in the Bible, he works. But today, do you see? Do you ask yourself, where do I see the presence of the Lord? Perhaps as soon as we ask ourselves that question, we start to think of like, oh, maybe the one time, or maybe some of the experiences that we've had when God's majesty or presence was just there to encourage or to exhort. And we think of some spectacular or more extraordinary experience of God's great presence. Or maybe it did overwhelm you. Or maybe it gave you that incredible sense of peace. Maybe it was a sense of epiphany that you saw something so clear. Or just the sense of the nearness of God. I think that's natural after such an epic poem and psalm. But let's not forget also the last line of this psalm. I mean, it talks about rivers and seas parting and mountains quaking and jumping. Then it says, you know, this God of Jacob who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. Certainly another miracle of the Lord that when he went with his people, I mean, he provided for them as they went into the desert. And you think desert, there's not a lot of water, so they had to rely on him. And even rocks gave the people water. God provided for his people. I And when we say, where do we see the Lord at work? Where is he present in our lives? Do we consider God's daily provision? And when I say that, certainly consider, yes, food and drink, whatever the Lord provides us physically. Let's think also a little bit more this morning and a little bit deeper. In what way are we people living in a desert? In a harsh place? Can we see this morning that we live in a world at the very least is hostile to faith? And how many different things did you encounter this past week that were there, that tripped you up, that made it hard to believe, that maybe brought questions to your mind? That tempted you to go against the Lord. And yet you're here. And yet you continue to believe. Continue to walk one day after another. What is that, if not proof, evidence of God's presence and work? Every day that we keep up the fight against sin. Every day that we don't give in to the doubts that may be there at the back of our mind. Every day that we don't give way to fear of man or fear of the future. Every day that we don't cave into despair saying, we'll never make it, or I just am not called. Every day any of that takes place, we experience a way that is prepared for us, provision that is made for a people who walk with the Lord. Every day we experience a world that makes way for us to continue to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that fill you with awe? Does that make you want to sing a hymn to the presence of the Lord among us? This is the road, this is the path that the Lord has prepared for us. And it's only there because his presence, he hasn't abandoned us. And we too may say, let the world, all of God's enemies, let them tremble and make way. For God leads his people. That then also raises the question. Such an escort is only given to those who are deserving. Why would we receive such honor from our God? Well, just as the Israelites sang this at their Passover celebration, let us do that this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. For one, it's that sign that Christ is truly with us. He walked among us. He truly is our Emmanuel who went with us as he lived here on earth. But it was especially his suffering and death for us that guarantees that we have God's presence with us today. As we review Christ's life, especially the end, we see him and he goes outside Jerusalem. He goes outside the camp, as Hebrews would say, outside the presence of God and of his people to bear the cross, to bear our punishment. So that's the very cross. He has to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we may sing of God's presence, knowing that he would never more forsake us. And when we can do that, not only will we sing, it's also that, it will open our eyes to God's presence in more ways than maybe we just expect. When you look to the cross, there is God's presence, but hidden. There's victory and strength, but in such an unlikely way. It's going to be the same in our lives. So when we look to the cross, that we too may be full of joy and reverence. That truly is God among us. The Savior who's made us His dominion, who has made us His sanctuary. And so let us too then praise Him for His presence among us. Amen. Let's, in response, stand and sing Psalm 114. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.